Haiti is on the edge of an abyss. The words of a senior UN official. And another warning, more than 100,000 of its children are in danger of starvation. Poverty and gang violence are destabilizing the country. So what's being done to help its people? This is Inside Story. Hello there and welcome to the programme. I'm Laura Kyle. Haiti is descending into a deepening crisis with no let-up for its long-suffering people. Senior UN officials say political instability, gang warfare, poverty and the impact of recent natural disasters like earthquakes have left its people in dire need of help. Government appeals for international military support have largely gone unanswered. Murders, lynching and kidnappings have increased. So can Haiti offer hope to its people? And what is the international community doing to help? We'll be asking our guests these and other questions in just a few moments. But first, Teresa Beau reports from Haiti's capital on what life is like for people there.
I'm here in the neighbourhood of Bel Air, in the capital of Haiti, Port-au-Prince. This area has been caught in between fights between rival gangs. Houses like the one where I am right now have been set on fire in those fights. People had to flee this part of the city, but others were here. I'm told that at least 12 people died in this house. You can see some remains all around this area. Haiti is in chaos right now. Around 80% of the capital has been taken over by gangs, and they're expanding to other parts of the country. Since the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in 2021, the number of massacres, of killings, of kidnappings have been on the rise, and that's why the interim prime minister has been requesting help for the international community. There's a non-elected and non-functioning government in Haiti right now. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights is saying that a special force should be sent in to help the government fight against the gangs. However, this is not an easy task, especially with the history of forces deployed in Haiti. Right now, half of the population is in desperate need of assistance, but because of assistance, aid distribution is extremely difficult. And the United Nations Children Fund is saying that over 100,000 children could die because of lack of food in this country. In the past few weeks, we have seen the beginning of a movement here that is known as Bois Calais, where it's basically people taking matters into their own hands. We have seen lynchings of alleged gang members being set on fire on the streets, and the violence prevails. People here, the ones that we have been talking to, are saying that they are desperate for stability. They're concerned about their children's future. And those who have left this area because of the violence are desperate to come back. Teresa Bo for Inside Story in Port-au-Prince.
Well, before we get to our discussion, let's just take a closer look at some of Haiti's problems. For many decades, its people have suffered cycles of violence, political instability and humanitarian crises. The insecurity worsened after President Jovenel Moïse was assassinated in 2021. Gangs now control much of the capital, Port-au-Prince. Haiti is still reeling from devastation caused by an earthquake in 2010. A cholera outbreak followed with a resurgence last year. Nearly half of the 11 million population is in need of aid, and more than 100,000 children are at risk of starvation. De facto Prime Minister Ariel Henry's appeals for international help, including military support, have received little response. Presidential and parliamentary elections were last held in 2016 and have since been postponed several times. Well, let's bring in our guests now. And in Port-au-Prince, Harold Isaac, an independent journalist who's reported extensively on Haiti. In Washington, D.C., Eugenie Achal, executive director of Fondation Mapo, a faith-based organisation. She's also host and executive producer of Conbeat Laki, that's a radio show in Haiti. Also in Port-au-Prince, Joseph Harold-Pierre, a political consultant and founder of NAPSA, that's a youth organisation promoting the development and democratisation of Haiti. A very warm welcome to all of you. Joseph, Can you start by giving us just a little bit more of an idea of what life is like for people living under the control of gangs? We're talking about some 80% of the capital, Port-au-Prince, there.
Thank you, Laura, for this invitation. What I can say, right now in Haiti, people just do not leave because the state does not exist. The people who control Haiti right now are not the state. These are only the gangs. And I think what Haitian people are living around, especially in Port-au-Prince, this will have lingering effects on the life of the country because the stress is so high beyond starvation. And I think in a summary, there is no life right now in Haiti. You cannot move. Everybody has to stay at home. This is the situation that the Haitian people are living right now. Although over the last 2 weeks, there is a movement, a new movement, as I just recalled the journalist, which is called Boakale. People are attacking, people are responding to the gangs. And to some extent, this has reduced kidnapping and people are not in security. But I think they are less stressed in the country because the gangs cannot keep kidnapping people as they were doing, let's say, over the last two years.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about the vigilantism that's been on the rise there in the capital in just a moment. First of all, Harold, could you just tell us a little bit more about the extreme levels of violence that people are confronted with every single day? We're talking about some 20 incidents of whether it's rape or homicide or lynching or kidnapping, some 20 every single day of this year. That's extraordinary.
Well, essentially, for the past 2 years, there's been a heightened level of gang violence, which has translated into, rapes, gender-based violence, kidnappings, massacres, and you know, it's been a reality, a daily reality for a lot of folks here. Especially in the metropolitan area of Port-au-Prince, where nearly 200 gangs are operating and covering nearly 80% of the capital.
Eugenia, these 200 gangs, they operate with impunity. The UN says the violence is at war zone levels. How did they get to be so powerful?
Well, there are essentially two components to gang violence. There is the pure criminality, where they're, performing extortion, kidnappings, and trying to get as much money as possible on one hand, and there's also a political component to it, where they are essentially tools to crooked politicians who are trying to secure votes or control electoral votes in key popular areas.
Eugenia, from where you're sitting there in Washington D.C., do you see the gangs as being the problem, or do you see them being a symptom of the problem? Because the gang leaders themselves, I mean, they've told Al Jazeera when we've interviewed them in the past that it's not gang violence that's the problem, it's corruption at the political level that's caused this situation.
Thank you for having me. I believe the gang is just part of the problem, but the issues that we are facing in Haiti is very complex. Corruption is at the root of the problem. The gangs would not be there had our politician not utilized them during electoral campaign to help co-opt individuals to vote in their favors. And you have seen over the past 12 years with the reign of the PHTK political party who's been in power, whether through the parliaments or the presidencies and ministers, they have not responded to the mandate that the people voted them in power for. The gangs are there because they are being supported by certain members of our economic elite, to protect the various areas. And our politicians are also profiting from having these gangs there. These are young men and women who become victims to the corrupt system and lack of development in the country. I think had we had governments who are responsible, who utilizes the public funds to create hospitals, create better schools, roads, and to create innovations for these young men to find jobs, they would have channeled their energies elsewhere instead of terrorizing the populations. The weapons that they are utilizing are weapons that are being purchased abroad. We in Haiti, we do not produce guns and we do not produce bullets either. There was a report put out not too long ago by UNDOC where they show that the trails of weapons coming into Haiti, the majority of them are coming from the United States. And I think the U.S. Claiming as being a friend of Haiti and also leading the campaign to get multinational forces in the country can begin by putting a stop to the flow of weapons that's coming from their country to enter our soil.
Okay. Joseph, just before we get on to international intervention again, I want to just continue addressing the situation in Haiti because it is a country that's got no parliament, hardly any legislators, no president. The prime minister himself is considered illegitimate by many. The gangs may have political power, but have they overtaken the politicians in power? Because there doesn't seem to be any proper leadership there in Port-au-Prince.
There is a clear vacuum in Haiti as regards political leadership, but it's not only with this government. There is no elite. There has never we had elite in country, political elite, economic elite. So if a country does not have any kind of elites, what we have to expect is exactly what Haiti is undergoing right now.
Just to jump in there, why do you think there has never been a political elite in Haiti?
Okay, I think we have never had this political elite based on what I call the incapacity of the Haitian people to have what I call collective action so that people unite and act together. I think this is the main problem of the country. And also, there is another explanation, the fact that Haitian people, especially those who have to become the elite of the country, do not have the capacity or the mentality to live in Haiti. Up to now, a lot of people think that you are not Caribbean, we are from Africa. I think right now, we have to consider ourselves that we are Haitians, we are in the Caribbean, that we have to live in the Caribbean and develop relations, political and geopolitical relations with the U.S., Canada, with France. I think these are the main factors explaining the incapacity of collective action in Haiti.
Okay, if there let me just jump in there and get Eugenia's response, because I did see quite a response for her when you said that people in Haiti cannot unite to lead the country. Eugenia, what are you thinking there?
I differ with that. The Haitian populations can unite. Is that the international meddling in our political affair has been detrimental to the process. Because most of the time, I mean, we can take the Montana Accord, for example. They galvanized a lot of people to put together an accord, but the accord did not satisfy the needs of what the U.S. and other countries were seeking. And in response to this, Haiti not having a political elite, the current political elite, what many calls the morally repugnant elites in Haiti, monopolize the political system. They are the ones who hold the customs hostage. They are the ones who place the ministers at each different branch of government. They are the ones who decide what type of budget is going to get passed and how much money is going to get allocated. Even if the parliament were attempting, actually, Jovenel Moïse himself pointed that out during one of his speech before they brutally assassinated him. The elites in Haiti use Haiti as a ground to dump their products, to collect money from the Haitian people, but they have not invested socially into the development of Haiti. Had the Haitian elites had some sort of moral integrity, had they taken responsibility to even go so far as paying their tax dollars, we will have enough money to keep the country going. If you look at our ports that are being controlled by the Haitian elite, the amount of money we are losing at the port could be enough money for us to sustain our own Haitian national police.
Okay. Let me just bring in Harold at this point, because we've got two very different ideas there as to why democracy is failing at the top levels of Haiti. We've got international meddling being brought up, corruption of the elite, the people being unable to reach consensus. Harold, what's your opinion?
Well, Haiti has been, the object of many sort of interventions from the international community, and to some extent could be considered kind of a laboratory where, a lot of interventions have been done. But I think that as of late, the approach, at least publicly, of the international community has been to have what they called, a Haitian-led solution. And to some extent, it's starting to kind of articulate today. Haiti is in a surreal situation, at least facing its institutional void. You have international community, mainly led by Canada, saying they're going to be supporting the Haitian National Police by transporting Haitian-purchased armored vehicle and training, police officers. And somewhat in the last 3 weeks, what you've seen is essentially, the population taking the matter in its own hands with the Boiscalé movement and propelling us really in a new dimension that, is, for the most part, uncharted territory.
Absolutely. And Joseph, rise in vigilantism that you mentioned before, people losing their fear of gang violence, but also losing all faith in the authorities being able to contain them. Does this rise in vigilantism concern you?
Yes, I am concerned with that, because this movement, I think for now, from a political standpoint, I think it's good, but the problem, it can only a solution which will be in the midterm the problem. It just replacing the problem by another problem. Because this movement, if it had a leadership, I think this could sort out the problem. In Peru, we had in the 90s a similar movement which sought out the insecurity problem in Peru. But this movement had a leadership. But in Haiti, it is a movement without leadership. And we don't know, for instance, the weapons, when people are lynched, when gang members, leaders are lynched, the weapons that are taken from them, who have them right now? We don't know. Mm. So I am very concerned with the movement just because it has no leadership.
Okay. Eugenia, let's move on to this idea of an international specialized armed force that the Prime Minister Henri has called for. It's got the backing of the US and the UN. Nothing seems to have happened about it. No one country seems to want to lead it. Do you think it's a good idea?
I think before I answer your questions for international interventions, I want to speak to the issue of vigilante. What is happening in Haiti, I wouldn't consider it vigilante. Right here in the United States, we have the Stand Your Ground laws that is legal, where people have the ability to defend their home if they feel that they are being threatened. For years that the Haitian population has been terrorized, their children are being raped, their children are being kidnapped, they are burned, they are tortures at the hands of those gang leaders. Whether the previous government or the current de facto prime minister has not lifted their hands or done nothing to help resolve the challenge. So the Haitian population has a responsibility and should also utilize their right to stand their grounds in defending themselves from being terrorized by gang leaders who are being provided weapons by our members of the government and different political factors and our economic factors. It's been long that they've been held hostage in their houses. house, and it's been long that they are being deprived of their economic resources. Nobody had said nothing. The leader, the current Boakale, does not need a leader. By putting a leader forward, we simply put somebody forward for the international community or the Haitian elite to purchase their power, ability to break it down. Haitians need to take responsibility to clean their country up, to reshape. We don't need an international interventions. What we had, look, from 1915, the elites in Haiti called for international interventions. Look at where we are today. 2004, the UN came into Haiti. The UN is still in Haiti as we speak. It is not fully militarized, but they are still in the country. The justice system has not received any assistance. The military missions we had in Haiti for years did not provide any structural structured for us. There was no school built. There were no road built. The amount of money that had been invested in having military forces on the ground does not support Haiti. We are left behind with the cholera pandemic, where over 820,000 people were impacted, 10,000 people died as a result of it. We are left behind with a lot of fatherless children. These fatherless children are children that were born to soldiers.
I can just see that Giuseppe is very keen to just get in there with a quick comment. Just before we go to Harold over the other side of Port-au-Prince, Giuseppe, just one second.
Yes. I disagree with the idea that we don't need a leadership. When I'm talking about leadership, not those people who have destroyed the country. I'm not talking about those oligarchs, political or economic. But any movement can't success without a leadership. This is a general idea to understand.
Okay. So a leadership, a grassroots movement coming from the bottom up. Let's just move on. We are running a little bit out of time.
The leader of the movement is right now. Okay, let's move on. If we put that person forward, that person will be purchased. And the movement will start.
There's a lot of suspicion, Harold. If I could just jump in to bring Harold in on the issue of international intervention, because there is a lot of suspicion rightly caused by the painful history that that Haiti has had with international meddling in its affairs. Is it a fair point, or should it once again open the doors to the international community trying to sort out Haiti's problems?
Well, as you can see, evidently, this is a very polarizing question here. And, you know, there's a track record of, you know, intervention, nearly 13 years. The latest one was the UN Minister mission, which has lasted for 13 years and nearly $8 billion. And, you know, we're at a probably worse shape than we've ever been. And then you also have the matter of, you know, there's an urgent situation that requires immediate assistance. So this is a real question, and it will be even more so in the coming months, if not years, when we'll be in the electoral cycle. You know, how will we go into elections in the current context? And that, I don't think anybody here has the precise answer for the renewal of institutions in the current context of the ad interim Prime Minister Ariel Henry's government.
Eugenia, the de facto Prime Minister Henry says security needs to be in place for elections to happen. Gang leaders say, well, actually, we need to have elections, we need to have a democratic process before we can step back from taking control of the streets. How does it work, and how do you achieve that security that's needed in the country for a vote to take place?
Well, to achieve the security, first, the government needs to take responsibility. The government needs to start supporting the bandits. The government needs to begin issuing warrants to arrest. Mr. Ariel Henry, the de facto prime minister, do whatever the international, particularly whatever the U.S. Embassy asks him to do. He's not lifting a hand for any Haitians that are being tortured at the hands of those bandits. But I saw he put out a speech asking the Haitian populations when they get the bandits to hand them over to the police. And with that, Mr. Henry can release many of the police officers who are providing security from before his various ministers to go provide security to the population and help deal with the gang issue. We are not ready yet to have elections. We should not be having an elections where it would be at the controls and the hands of the international community. We have had that for many years, from the election with Joseph Michel Martelly to Jovenel Moïse. That's what gives us the result of what we have right now. The Haitian people needs to be given a chance to take their responsibility. My position is that the Haitian population should not be demanding the international community to come help them with this and that. We are a people. We need to take our responsibility, decide the fate of our nation. If we need to shut Haiti down for a moment and ask these embassies to step aside, ask the core group to step aside and stop being the governor of Haiti, for Haitians to take their responsibility, to put themselves in a room, even if it's for weeks or two, to draw down and strategize from point A to point Z, how are we going to move forward to go to the next level? But election at the current juncture will simply allow the international community to put another puppet government, and we can't go there right now.
Understood. Understood. Joseph, your views on how Haiti achieves a state of security. I understand that the Prime Minister, Henri, is considering mobilizing the military. Is that a good idea?
I don't think that if you talk about military in Haiti, the military force, it's like less than 1,000 people. So there is no way that the military and the police can sort out the problem that we are facing right now in Haiti. And international interventions have always failed in Haiti. Why? For me, this is the way that those missions were structured, were thought. We need right now, I think, Haiti cannot solve the problem only. We need international support. But if we have, for instance, right now, a mission with Ariel Henry in power, this mission will be another failure, because a mission can be successful only if the local government has the capacity to guide the mission, to settle the conditions. But this government cannot do it.
Okay.
But if we have another government with other people, competent people, serious people, it's possible that an international intervention help us sort out the problem. Haitian people can.
I'm going to give the last word to Harold here, because we've just got a minute left. We started this discussion, Harold, by saying that Haiti was dangling over an abyss. That's the view of a UN official. There's so much disagreement within the country. The problems are so numerous. Can Haiti be stopped from falling into that abyss?
Well, the numbers are really dire. It's a very sad and very sorry state to see Haiti with about 5 million people nearing famine-like state. You have about 150,000 kids who are in an accelerated wasting state. These, you know, are ultimately the victims of the whole situation, of this whole political void, this whole institutional crisis. And, you know, there seems to be no end in sight. However, there are glimmers of hope. There are, you know, certain aspects are looking somewhat up. You know, certain neighborhoods in the capital that have been liberated are seeing, you know, life coming back to them. So it's going to be a long way to recovery, and it's going to be a long way to normalizing the institutions and renewing them. So it's, you know, I think Haiti is not out of the woods yet, but there are reasons to have faith and hope, I would say, from my standpoint.
Well, we will end on that optimistic note. The situation is urgent, but there is faith and hope that all will be well. Thank you very much to all our guests for joining our discussion today. Harold Isaac, Eugenia Charles, and Joseph Harold Pierre. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website. That's aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, do go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Laura Kyle, and the whole team here, it's bye for now.